Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The days of freedom fries are over. Once again, it's Vive la France. I'm John Schaefer, and today on Soundcheck, the music charts in France used to be dominated by American tunes. But now French artists are claiming their space in the sun. In light of Bastille Day this Saturday, we look at what's hot in French music these days. Later in the show, Basia Schechter grew up in a large Hasidic family in Brooklyn, discovered rock as a teenager, and fell in love with Turkish and African music while traveling in those places. It all comes together in the sound of her band, Pharaoh's Daughter. They'll play live for us. Also, as a new Russian production of The Ring Cycle opens in town, we'll look at the myth and the mania behind Wagner's operas. All of that on Soundcheck after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. President Bush says the U.S. can and must prevail in Iraq. He made the comments at a news conference today as the White House released a report on Iraq that shows mixed progress.
Those who believe that the battle in Iraq is lost will likely point to the unsatisfactory performance on some of the political benchmarks. Those of us who believe the battle in Iraq can and must be won see the satisfactory performance on several of the security benchmarks as a cause for optimism.
But Democrats in Congress say the interim report is proof that the administration's policy is failing. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin called the president's assessment of the report unrealistic.
Sad to say, President Bush is out of touch. He's out of touch with the reality of the war in Iraq. He's out of touch with the American people. This benchmark assessment report, which we've received, doesn't give us much hope.
The president also said that while a new threat assessment shows al-Qaeda remains strong, the network is weaker than it was prior to September 11, 2001. Former White House aide Louis Scooter Libby has been ordered to report to the probation office by close of business Friday to begin his 2 years of supervised release. Libby does not have to serve his 2.5-year prison sentence for perjury because President Bush commuted the punishment. NPR's Ari Shapiro has more.
The order telling Libby to report to prison includes a lengthy footnote from Judge Reggie Walton. The judge quotes from President Bush's statement describing Libby's sentence as excessive. He then goes on to say the sentence was at the bottom end of the range suggested by the sentencing guidelines. And the judge points out that the attorney general recently called for a law that would make the guidelines more binding on judges. Walton concluded, "It is fair to say that the court is somewhat perplexed as to how its sentence could accurately be described as excessive." At a press conference, President Bush called the Libby commutation a fair and balanced decision. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Meanwhile, President Bush has told former White House counsel Harriet Myers not to appear before the House Judiciary Committee today to face questions about the administration's firing of federal prosecutors. The House had subpoenaed Myers, but the president earlier this week invoked executive privilege, telling Myers not to answer the committee's questions and now not to appear at all. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 197 points at 13,775 in trading of 2 billion shares. The Nasdaq Composite is up 31 points at 22,683, and the S&P is up 18 at 1537. This is NPR News.
And this is WNYC at 2:04. Good afternoon. I'm Brian Zumhagen. A federal grand jury has indicted former Newark, New Jersey Mayor Sharp James on corruption charges. James was charged with using city-issued credit cards to spend extravagantly during vacations, according to U.S. Attorney Christopher Christie and State Attorney General Ann Milgram. James is also charged with fraud for allegedly facilitating and approving the cut-rate sales of city-owned land to his female companion Tamika Riley. The two are expected in federal court this hour. Meanwhile, Meanwhile, Newark's current mayor, Cory Booker, was joined by elected officials and community leaders today to mark the 40th anniversary of the 1967 riots in that city. Booker called for an official reexamination of the 26 deaths that occurred over 5 days of disturbances. No indictments were ever returned in those killings. In 1968, a state panel convened by then-Governor Hughes challenged the contention that the killings were the result of so-called Negro snipers. Instead, the panel concluded the suspect gunfire most likely came from police and National Guard. Robert Ellis, the third suspect in the shooting of two New York City police officers, has been captured in Pennsylvania. Officer Russell Timoshenko remains paralyzed on life support. His family has received a visit from the parents of Eugene Marshallik, the auxiliary officer who was killed in March. They're all from the former Soviet Union, says Police Commissioner Ray Kelly.
And they're able to communicate in their native tongue. And I think they've offered a large amount of comfort and solace to the Timoshenkos.
A third suspect was ordered held without bail in New York yesterday. Mostly clear skies in the forecast for tonight with expected lows in the mid-60s. Mostly sunny Friday. There is a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon. High should be in the mid-80s. Right now, 78 degrees. Sunny skies in Central Park. The time is 6 minutes past 2.
Support for NPR comes from LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
Il s'aime et la traversée durera toute une année. Ils vaincront les maléfices jusqu'en 70.
Bastille Day is this weekend. Are you keeping au courant with the French sound? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Still to come on our show, the band Pharaoh's Daughter. Playing live in the studio, they evoke everything from Hasidic Brooklyn to 70s psychedelia, and we'll look at hardcore fans of Wagner operas. But first, France. It's produced a remarkable range of music, from the chansons of Edith Piaf to the idiosyncratic stylings of Serge Gainsbourg, whom you're hearing in the background, to the dance beats of Daft Punk. But more often than not, the charts in France have been filled with American music. That is no longer the case. There's a new breed of musicians that have emerged from the shadow of Serge Gainsbourg, sparking an interest in homegrown songs. To give us the story, we've invited back to our studio Elizabeth Vincentelli. She's arts and entertainment editor at Time Out New York, although originally from France and keeping au courant with what's going on there. Elizabeth, why this resurgence of French music in France?
Well, I think we can start dating the resurgence back to 1986 because that is when a law was passed that created quotas on French radio stations, and they had to start playing 40% of songs in French. And it could be people from France or Quebec or Belgium or Switzerland.
Or West Africa.
Or wherever, as long as it was sung in French. And there's been little tweaks on that law over the years, but basically the average is 40% has to be in French. And that has created just a huge market of homegrown singers.
Mm-hmm. Is it a case that was 20 years ago, you know? Mm-hmm. Has it taken this long for the law to actually, you know, produce something of this kind of quality that it has achieved its own momentum?
Well, I think the law was just one element in it. It was a very important one, but it was just one. There were other things like maybe those things are really hard to explain and really pinpoint. But I think another thing was a kind of resurgence in the sense of a certain French identity. Resisting the American and English influences, and people like hearing songs that they can sing along in their own language,
yeah.
And that's very basic human reflex, I think.
Although, you know, on the surface at least, a quota for music sounds wrong. Has it turned out is it a good thing for the music?
I really think it has been. I think the homegrown French record industry is a very strong one in Europe right now. And I think if you compare, if you think that a country where people can express themselves in their own language is a good thing, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, some people may disagree. Some people may think that the market has to be absolutely free. But then you look at Italy and Germany, and their charts have a lot more songs in English, and sometimes by Italian or German artists who choose to sing in English. That's also very strong in Scandinavia, where a lot of the local artists sing in English. Not so in France.
Hmm. But for that reason, you do get Scandinavian and German and other artists who cross over to the international market. And as we perhaps can discuss in a little bit, not so many of the French artists who are singing in French have been able to do that. We started, though, with Serge Gainsbourg, who, you know, along with his wife, Jane Birkin, has cast an enormous shadow, it seems, over French popular music for the last few decades. Has that been something that a younger generation has had to work against?
They worked against it, and they also work with it. I mean, I think the influence of Gainsbourg, especially in terms of the lyrics, a lot of the lyrics of French songs now are based on wordplay and puns, and they're very, very difficult to translate, for instance. And people really respond to that. They really love it. They love a well-crafted lyric, and I think that's a really long-lasting legacy of Gainsbourg, who was really famous for his tongue-twisting wordplay.
Well, now, despite everything that you've just said in the past minute or two, one of the high-profile French releases last year was by Charlotte Gainsbourg, his son, daughter. And her American debut album, 555, all sung in English. What do you make of that?
Well, she has said, actually, in interviews that it was a very deliberate decision on her part to try to distance herself from her father. Because, as you said, he cast such a huge shadow in France, and he's a really crushing person to be compared to. And I think her choice to sing in English, I think, was a good one, because she really would, if she had written lyrics or if she had sung someone else's lyrics, they would have been compared to his lyrics. I cannot underemphasize the importance his writing style for lyrics has had on France, and they would just have been compared to him as being sub Gainsbourg or not as good or right. It's okay. So I think it was a very canny choice there.
And she actually teamed up with Air and with Jarvis Cocker from the mm-hmm. Britpop band Pulp on this record. Here's a track from Charlotte Gainsbourg. "555" is the title track from the album by Charlotte Gainsbourg, who is the daughter of the great Serge Gainsbourg, and sounding, Elizabeth Vincentelli, a bit like her mom, Jane Birkin,
that kind of breathy delivery.
Now, her album is available here in the States, but most of these French hits are not. What about someone like Christophe Willem? Very big in France right now. Any chance of somebody like that breaking here in the States?
I kind of doubt it. I really doubt it. He's a very odd case. Christophe Willem won Nouvelle Star last year, and Nouvelle Star is pretty much French Idol. It's very similar format, elimination, four judges, etc. Actually, no, you have four instead of three. But so he won last year, and he released his debut album in April of this year, and it just exploded. It went huge. He was very popular. He's a very awkward-looking character, very tall and gawky with big, dorky glasses. He actually looks a little bit like Jarvis Cocker, like very thin, balding. And he has this very androgynous voice. And he was so popular during the run of the show that when it was over, he got offers from really high-profile songwriters saying, "I want to write a song for you." And he has this all-star cast on his album. It's just really insane.
And it's hugely successful in France. Here's an excerpt of the artistry of Christophe Willem. Christoph Willem is the singer. Elizabeth Vincentelli is my guest, arts and entertainment editor at Time Out New York. And with Bastille Day looming, we're talking about the current state of French music. And Christoph's song, this is called Double Jeu, Double Game.
It's a pun. Again, it's a pun on jeu meaning I, you know, I the person,
okay.
And jeu meaning also game. So again, very wordplay and pun based.
That is a man that we just heard singing.
Yes, it is.
It's unbelievable. It is such a, I mean, you would never guess that had we not alerted people to that fact before playing the clip.
I have to say that the gender and sexual politics of the French idol, and especially after this season as well, are so much more progressive than the one on American Idols. They make American Idol look so cretinous. I have to say, it is really stunning. They're completely ahead of the U.S. in that way.
All right. So, but in addition to, you know, sort of TV-made stars like Christoph Willem, who's occupied the top slot for weeks there in France, there has been this explosion of new Francophone music from West Africa, from North Africa. How much of that comes out in the pop music of someone like, say, Najwa Belizele?
Well, it's. I think people are just feel free to incorporate whatever they listen to at home, or that their parents listen to, or that they listen to, because we just live in this world where it's so much easier now to suck up influences from everywhere, and people feel free not to have to fit into a French or stereotypically French mold. I mean, French chanson is a lot more than Gainsbourg and Piaf, as great as they are. It's also the banlieue people.
The folks who live in the suburbs. Who are largely immigrants, many of them from West Africa, from Morocco, which is part of Najwa Belizele's mm-hmm. heritage. Let's hear a little bit of her music. There is something vaguely exotic about, you know, the melody, the violin playing just at the end of that clip there.
It's also the way she sings, actually. Her inflections when she sings really feel a little Middle Eastern in the way she approaches. And she kind of melds that with a kind of R&B approach as well. It's pretty interesting. She's from Nancy, in the east of France.
And she is half Egyptian, half Moroccan. Her name is Najwa Belizele, and she's occupying a position near the top of the French charts. Moving from pop to hip-hop, Diams is at least half, I mean, she's like half French, half Cypriot, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yes.
All right, so how does she sort of appeal to that banlieue, you know, the immigrant suburbs, to that sensibility?
Well, she really writes, I mean, if you remember when people were saying that rap and hip-hop was the CNN of, you know, black youth, She's like the French CNN of the banlieue. Her lyrics, she writes absolutely great lyrics. And they feel really immediate and really newsy and very funny, but also there's this rage that courses through them that is really palpable. And she's also really a very open feminist. And she's been very brave in talking about some things that people really don't want to hear about there in terms of the place of women among certain, you know, as being completely under the thumb of the boys and men in their families.
And she was quite vocal in her opposition to the new conservative French president, Sarkozy.
Yeah, she's been name-dropping him in her songs for a while. And
Is he the topic of this song, La Boulette, the moron?
He's one of many topics in that song. That song was huge in France last year. I mean, I can't even... It was enormous.
It was the top song on the French charts for 6 consecutive weeks. Here is Diams. Comme un goût d'Afrique dans les caisses de la Francia, comme un goût de Démédémago dans la bouche de Sarko, comme un goût de Michto près des Mercos, y'a comme un goût de coucou dans les chambres des jeunes, y'a comme un goût de boum boum dans le cœur de mes sœurs, y'a comme un goût de chouille sous les doutes, tout ce qui se déroule, y'a comme un goût de foulette, de boulette qui saute dans la foule. Alors ouais, on déconne, ouais, ouais, on est étonne, non, non, c'est pas l'école qui nous a dicté nos codes, non, non, génération, non, non. That is some music from Diams. She is a French Cypriot rapper and producer. A big hit song last year. We're speaking with Elizabeth Vincentelli, the arts and entertainment editor of Time Out New York, keeping in touch with the family back home in France and keeping us in touch with Bastille Day this weekend. Most of this music, as we mentioned before, has not hit it big outside of the French-speaking parts of Europe and doesn't have much, you know, chance of doing it. What about a band like Justice? Do they have a chance of impacting in the UK and the US?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I think in the same way as Daft Punk. And Daft Punk, I mean, they're playing in August at Kispen Park here in Brooklyn, and that's a big venue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Justice could do... In fact, they are managed by Daft Punk's old managers, definitely in the same tradition. And they're really... And they could be big on a kind of Chemical Brothers kind of big.
So this is a dance rock band, basically.
Totally, yeah. It's a duo. It's two I think they're 27, two 27-year-old guys, and from Paris. Just really, really popular right now.
Let's hear a little bit of their song, D-A-N-C-E, from Justice. Band is Justice, D-A-N-C-E is the song, and you know, once you start singing in English, you're running afoul of that law that says 40% of French radio has to be French songs, but you've got the American market open to you. So maybe we'll be hearing more of Justice on these shores. Elizabeth, Bastille Day is Saturday. There is a tribute to Serge Gainsbourg at Joe's Pub. John Zorn and a bunch of lower Manhattan types did a whole album of Gainsbourg arrangements a few years ago. So, you know, there is that stream still running through it. But what else? I mean, is there anything worth checking out musically here in New York for Bastille Day?
Well, there's actually three bands that are kind of touring together, and they're playing both on Saturday at Warm Up at PS1 in Queens in the afternoon, and on Sunday they're playing at the Block Party on 60th Street, I think between 3 and 5 p.m., and they are Pony Hoax, the Penelopes, and Frustration, and they are definitely more in a kind of indie rock, indie synth rock vein.
But they're
very fun. And they sing in English, actually,
okay.
But they're very, very good.
All right, well, we've been speaking with Elizabeth Vincentelli, arts and entertainment editor of Time Out New York, about what's going on in the French pop scene. The actress Vanessa Paradis is probably best known for her relationship with Johnny Depp, but she has an album that is due in the fall, and we'll wrap up with a little bit of her Divine Idol. And in a moment, Pharaoh's Daughter, a six-piece ensemble that blends Jewish music with world beat, will play live for us, and then later we'll look at how Wagner's Ring Cycle has permeated our culture, from Star Wars to The Lord of the Rings. This is Soundcheck.